It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Somebody says, oh my God, look out the window.
I can eat 50 eggs. Nobody ever eat 50 eggs.
My boss says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
Yeah, but how long?
The hour.
50 eggs gotta weigh a good 6 pounds.
Man's gut can't hold that. They'll swell up and bust them open.
They're gonna kill him.
I love Cool Hand Luke.
They're going to kill him.
Hey, listen, sorry we didn't get the 5 and 10 challenge on. We're going to try that again tomorrow.
We'll get to it.
But I do have to give away Madden 09 today.
Please, Mike.
So I'm not going to give you any tips, but if you have listened to a good portion of this broadcast, a little bit later on, we're going to ask you just one simple question. And if you've listened to the show, you should be able to answer it and walk away with Madden 2009.
Brilliant.
Are you ready for some football? 7-Eleven is. Madden Meals. Free playable demos of Madden NFL 09. Gridiron, ice slurpees, cool collectible sports cup with top Madden NFL 09 players, and a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Game on. Listen now, for your chance to win Madden coming up on the big show. Would you like to talk to somebody who agrees with you?
I just wanted to ask if the Madden meals include a turducken.
But yeah. Ooh, I can't wait for that. You going to get one again this year?
I don't know.
All right. Let's go to Dan in D.C. Dan, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show, and we'll hopefully talk to Carrie Strug in a second. Dan, what can we do for you?
Well, I've had some time to think and listen to your wonderful sponsors while I was on hold.
We appreciate you doing that every day.
As do they.
When it comes to Buzz's point, I think I have to agree that maybe the news is over with that, but maybe there's a little bit of hypocrisy here because when Edwards literally has sex with one person, it's news, but when there's, you know, people are figuratively getting screwed by, like, the hundreds of thousands, then somehow that's not news.
Yeah, when it pushes the real news out of the way, you mean?
Yeah.
The real issues. Like
I'm confused, Buzz,
he's
by that question.
He's talking about the economy, the war, and all the ways.
Rob, do we have Olympic music?
Other people get screwed.
All right, well, I think he was trying to agree with you, Buzz. But
I thought he did a fine
job.
Let's
take a break from these Edwards calls and talk to a genuine Olympic hero. Olympic gold medalist Carrie Strug is with us right now. Carrie!
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, doing well.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. It's great to have you on the show, Carrie. I'm a fan. I remember your performances. I think everybody in America remembers that. You know, the walking wounded. Who could forget? How are you enjoying the competition so far, Carrie?
Well, I think like many Americans or, you know, everyone around the world, I've been glued to the television screen since the Olympics began. Mm-hmm. And last night was the women's gymnastics preliminary competition. And the American girls had a few kinks here and there, but they got them out.
Yep.
And the format will be a little bit different in the finals. It's three up, three scores count. So I think they're going to do that much better, and they still have a shot at the gold.
Now, you are heading over to Beijing tomorrow. Is that correct?
Wednesday,
you're heading over
right
to
around
Beijing.
The corner.
And you know, is it?
Yes, because tomorrow.
Go ahead.
Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow, I'm getting everybody excited in the D.C. area about Team USA, and along with Bank of America and their mobile unit, we'll be out at Tyson's Corner, having the public do some cheers. It's called America's Cheer.
Now, this is like a pep rally. Is this like a big pep rally that you're having for the Olympic team?
In so many ways, yes. And if you can't make it out to Tyson's Corner tomorrow, mobile unit's going across the country. It's about 20 cities. But if you're bored at work and you're thinking about the Olympians and you want to show some support, check on the website, americascheer.com, and you can just upload some encouraging words. You can download a funny video or put up a funny picture or just about anything. It's amazing what technology can do, and all of the U.S. athletes are aware of the America's Cheer program, and they're logging in here and there to see what everybody back home has to say about them. And so it's a great thing because not all of us can go to Beijing, but all of us can kind of take part and feel like we're inspiring our American athletes.
That is very, very cool, and I think it's a neat thing you're doing. You're
going to
be
at
Tyson's Corner across from Macy's tomorrow morning, 11 to noon. It's called America's Cheer, and we're inviting everybody locally, youth especially, to show support for Team USA in Beijing. I kind of can't think of a better time or a better country having the Olympics all the way over in Beijing for everybody to do this. I think that's terrific. And then right after you're done with that, you're heading out there. I want to give everybody your bio in case in case you've had your head in the sand and you don't know the name Carrie Strug. Age of 14, you won a bronze medal in Barcelona. You were the youngest member of the entire U.S. Olympic team. You were part of the Magnificent Seven. That was the 96 U.S. women's gymnastics team at that Olympics. You performed the vault injured, ensuring the U.S. women's team the gold medal. And your coach carried you to the podium. I mean, everybody's got to remember this. It's on every
iconic,
highlight reel.
Yes.
And you also traveled with Disney on ice professionally. And now what I was surprised is that you live and work around D.C.
Yes, that's right. I actually work for the Department of Justice in the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and I'm very happy here. I'm originally from Tucson, Arizona, but my job has brought me here to the nation's capital. And
you're a big fan of the Mike O'Mara show, too, right? You listen every day.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk Olympics here. I think it's the one thing I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, when you were the 14 and you won a bronze medal, and you start in gymnastics especially, you start at such an incredibly young age. I think it's important for everybody listening to know how much these athletes like yourself sacrifice. You moved away from home at 13 to train with Bella Caroli. And I can't imagine at that age, no matter what the circumstances, that's got to be extremely tough. That had to be one of the toughest things you did in your life.
Difficult for me because I am very close to my parents, but at the same time I had a dream and I knew that in order to achieve it I wanted to give it my all, and that you couldn't argue with Bella's results. He has produced champion after champion, and if that's what I wanted, I was going to have to make certain sacrifices, and I'm one of the fortunate few that the sacrifices were well worth it. You know, the window of opportunity for a gymnast is much shorter than most, and so you really have to kind of make those sacrifices during your teenage years, which is maybe a little bit more difficult than when you're in college or in your 20s, but, you know, it depends on how you look at it. At the same point, once you're done, then you can pursue a normal training regime or existence and get into a career and do some things. So for me, gymnastics taught me about time management and discipline and focus, and it was all, you know, very positive. I love the sport.
And even if someone doesn't say achieve what you have achieved in the sport, you think it can be a good experience for maybe the people that pursue it that don't make the Olympic team?
Definitely. I mean, only 6 girls make the Olympic team every 4 years.
Right.
So you have to be realistic with your expectations, but you can get a college scholarship or you can make it to that state competition. It just really builds self-esteem and gets out of trouble. And I think it's a phenomenal sport for other sporting activities later on in life, for your basic coordination,
right,
knowing how to eat, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So
you're just about to head over to Beijing. What is do you have your agenda all laid out as far as what you're going to do? Is it going to be pretty much exclusively watching the gymnastics? Are you going to take any other stuff in? And the second part of that question would be, is it hard to watch when you're not on the floor now?
Yeah.
Is it a little tough, like, you know, an actor says it's tough sometimes to watch a stage show? Is it similar,
right,
to when you go over to watch the gymnast perform?
Well, it definitely is different watching because you have no control. I'll be honest, I'm very happy the butterflies aren't in my stomach the way they were when I was on that competition floor.
Right.
But I still do get nervous for the girls because I do know them. I want them to do well. I know what they're capable of. And when you see a little mishap here or there, there's nothing you can do. But I think they're going to pull it all together and just do so well these next few days in the various finals. And so it'll be great to sit back, relax, and kind of celebrate with them when they do well.
Cool. Now, Carrie, it's not often we get to speak to a real Olympian, and this is something I was thinking about, and I don't know that you went through this as much as they might be doing this year, but in addition to the pressure and everything of training for this one chance to compete, it's also the notion of going to a foreign country and being in a totally new environment. Does that pressure add to the difficulty of performing over there? Does it make it easier because you're among everyone's in the same situation? What's it like to be taken out of your element and put in a foreign country before you compete?
I think many of these athletes have competed on the world stage for quite some time now, so they've had a world championships or a World Cup or just certain international competitions where they've had to travel and compete in a foreign country. So it does take some time to acclimate. Many of the U.S. athletes went out there relatively early in order to get used to the timing. The food, actually, I think many, you know, the Olympic Village has a certain dietary, meets everybody's dietary needs.
Okay.
And it's pretty good, right? I mean, the food is pretty good over there, right? When they, I mean, it's the Olympics,
very
so they
plentiful.
Yeah.
for us gymnasts, that's not a good thing.
No, that's right.
You weigh 75 pounds. If you gain two, it's a big deal.
What the, you know, that brings me, I am so fascinated to speak to somebody that is in this area. Because, I mean, you when you talk about the summer games, you know, there's a little bit of focus on swimming this year. Mm-hmm. And the basketball team's sure. getting a lot of, but really, over the last, two decades, the focus usually at the Summer Olympics is on what you guys do. The women's gymnastic team.
Usually.
And I'm fascinated by it because there's so much I don't know about it. When you say we're 75 pounds, what is, Carrie, when you're competing, what is the diet? What is the average kind of food that you would, how many calories would you ingest in a day to do this?
Well, you're training about 8 hours a day, so you need a lot of energy, but you want it to be high in protein.
Right.
You need some carbs, but not many, and you just want to keep your weight down and your muscle mass up. So they're definitely not starving the gymnast by any means, but they're not eating fattening foods or things that oftentimes young women will crave, especially when they're in an environment where maybe they're a little bit stressed out. You know, oftentimes we like those carbs, those sugary things. And
when you're in the, interrupt you, but when you're in the Olympic Village, you are, you're at the same cafeterias or the same eating centers with all the other athletes. Kind of frustrating when you'll see one of the weightlifters like having a, 60-ounce porterhouse and a bowl of pasta.
Couple of steaks.
I mean, do you eat with all the other athletes that are there when you're at the Olympic Village?
Unfortunately, the gymnasts oftentimes, and this was our case in Atlanta, don't stay in the village just because you've worked so long and hard in order to get to the Olympics. You don't want to lose focus once there.
Okay, so you're separate.
A lot of the governing bodies have other facilities for them. So I was in the 92 games and we did stay in the village. And I have to be honest, I was like staring at some of the other athletes, the swimmers and the athletics and things like that because they can eat anything and everything and I guess they need to.
And it's also kind of weird if you're in the cafeteria line, you're standing next to one of those volleyball players that's 7'3" and you're down there, hey, how you doing up there?
Yeah, right.
I would always imagine in that environment it has to be absolutely fascinating just to people watch
because
you have so many different athletes with so many different skill sets and there you are. I mean it's I'm not telling you anything you don't know, an incredible experience just to be there, right?
Yes, I think, from the time you're young, you dream of going to the Olympics, especially for a lot of sports like gymnastics, weightlifting, badminton, things like that. This is the pinnacle. I mean, this is it. We don't have a Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or things like that. So you look forward to meeting all the other athletes and watching the other venues, going to the other venues to watch the different sporting events. And so for me, I know at both my Olympic Games, I had kind of a list of whom I wanted to meet and who I had seen on television, and it was so exciting to run into them at different functions and kind of compare and contrast their training regime against mine. And
when you talk about,
it's fantastic. I think the Olympics are really special in that sense. They bring the world together through friendly competition, and they bring so many different types of athletes together.
I want to ask you about the different types of athletes because really, and not so much probably when you were competing in 1996 as somebody who I'm a lot older than you, and I remember watching the Olympics during the Cold War and seeing the, for example, the East Germans and the Soviet athletes and how they were conditioned. And to a certain extent also, Carrie, and I'm going to get a little bit political here because I want your thoughts on it. When you're looking at the Chinese team competing, one of the things that comes across on television when you're watching some of these competitions is the fact that there's joy in a team like the American team. There's the joy of a free country, really. When you see this, you don't necessarily, with some of the countries like China, for example, you don't see
the joy.
That unbridled joy. Right. And I'm curious as to whether you pick up on that type of thing and you notice the difference in cultures and in the whole political system, whether that's reflected when you're competing against these athletes and you get a sense of it.
I definitely did see that when I was competing. I think things were a lot different at the time when the Soviet Union, was competing as one, and the Romanians had an incentive system where if they won gold, they had housing the rest of their lives.
Right.
So
right.
it was very, very different, and they had a lot more at stake. So clearly the pressure is a lot different. If you win Olympic gold, you're set for life, whereas in America, yeah, you're going to enjoy some endorsements and you're going to do well.
It's the Wheaties box. You're on the Wheaties box.
You love it.
Right. It's fascinating to watch, and I love the joy when you watch you're also dang cute when you're out there running prancing around out there. But I'll tell you something: anyone that thought that you guys were a bunch of cute little pixies running around and doing little fairy dances out there, I will tell you, you proved everybody wrong with that ankle injury that you had when you were doing the vault. Is there a single event that causes the most injuries? I know the vault was pretty rough on you, and what were the tough areas of gymnastics for you? The vault caused the injury, but you'd injured your back before. I mean, you guys in gymnastics, you don't think of this. You guys get banged up more than a lot of other athletes in the Olympics.
I think when you're flying through the air, it's just inevitable you're going to fall here and there. But we take the necessary precautions. We do a lot of strength training. We do a lot of flexibility. When you're learning a new skill, you make sure that there's proper mats and that you have spotting. But, it's athletics. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. And occasionally you're going to get injured. And oftentimes those injuries make you that much stronger, not only mentally, because you have to come back from them and you have to be positive, but also physically, because you're going to be much more careful the next time around and you're going to think about your landings and you're going to do that much more conditioning and rehab it so that you come back 110%. But injuries do play a large part of the sport of gymnastics. I mean, look at Paula Morgan-Hahm. They're phenomenal gymnasts, but they got injured at the wrong time, and oftentimes that does happen for gymnasts and all athletes.
All right.
You got to play smart.
Last two questions for you, and we'll let you go, and we appreciate you being generous with your time here, Carrie. Number one, do you still vault? Do you vault at all? Do you do any kind of gymnastics work at all?
No, I definitely do not vault anymore.
Okay.
I do like to exercise every morning. I go to the gym just like everyone else. I'm actually training for the New York City Marathon in November.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
Okay, so you're still athletic. And the last question, of course, would be you're going over there to see, a lot of people I'm sure you know in the game of gymnastics. Would you like to offer a prediction? Do you think, is the USA going to grab gold this year?
Well, it looked a little bit rough last night, but they have a phenomenal chance of winning the gold. It's a different lineup, and it's going to be three up, three scores count. The Chinese are going to be extremely nervous going in because it is their home country, and they are in the number one slot. And to be honest with you, mentally, I think the USA women will come back that much stronger, whereas I think possibly the Chinese will falter. So it's between those two, and I think that's what makes the Olympics so exciting. You just never know who's going to do what. I know that's probably not the answer you wanted, but I don't want to make one prediction.
That's fine, Carrie. That's fine. I don't have a problem.
I don't know.
I just like talking to you. You are a hero, and I hope you know that. And if people don't tell you that, they should tell you that more often. Mm-hmm. It was great watching you. I want to mention that Carrie will be at Tyson's Corner tomorrow, across from Macy's, tomorrow morning, 11 to noon, for America's Cheer, inviting local youth to show support for Team USA in Beijing. And then you leave shortly after that for China, and have a great time over there. And it was great talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
And
I really appreciate it.
And you'll have to listen to my show every day because you're a DC resident now. Listen to the Mike O'Mara show every single day. Okay?
Everyone does.
Everybody
right.
does. Carrie, come out to how old are you now, Carrie?
I don't know how appropriate that is to ask a young woman on.
Oh, you're not that old.
So
I'm just.
Old?
Yeah, come on. I'm 49. Okay, but I mean, you're.
I'm 30 now. I was not happy with the 30th birthday. So.
You're kidding. You can't be. You can't be 30.
No, there's no way.
That's impossible.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the case. Everybody thinks I'm much younger, I think, because they freeze me in time. And clearly, my stature does not help. Uh-huh. But
well, you're invited to BYOB Friday on the Mike O'Mara Show. Come on over on a Friday with us and have a beer. You know, I mean, I know you're training for the marathon, but come on over and have a beer, okay,
Carrie?
Good
for you.
I'll consider.
Okay, thank you. Good. That's all we can get. Thanks so much, and have fun in Beijing, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay,
go USA.
Okay, go USA. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks for being on the show.
33 years old. Wow.
No, just 30. I think just turned 30, didn't she say?
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I said 30 years old.
Oh, I thought you said 33.
Some of those animals are now full grown.
30 years old.
Yeah, you didn't mention her.
Sounds eight.
The most amazing credit, it's not even on the sheet. She's the girl that says, this is CNN.
That was fun. And she's cool. You know, she was cool. We'll have more. I think we'll have some pictures of Carrie. If you don't remember what she looked like, that'll be up on MikeOMaraShow.com.
Rightly
and,
so.
And we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do the audio vault and maybe talk to another individual that's going the other way across the Pacific.
No kidding.
Coming back from China.
Ah.
He was just over there.
Well, that's exciting.
And we'll get his thoughts about the Olympics.
Wonderful.
You saw a lot of W, didn't you, over there?
Sure.
See what he has going on. When we come back right after these messages.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.